This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gav Murphy, and this week I'm joined by two sexy men, Rory Powers, Daniel Krupa, and Gav Murphy doing a podcast.
I was going to say, we're the cock ring.
I'm excited to see if we don't jump in, where else is going to go?
Yeah, there you go. What are we going to talk about this week? We're going to be talking about a 25-foot Jeff Goldblum.
Let's start there.
Let's start there.
Yeah, explain yourself.
But only via a Christmas song.
I'm out of songs. To celebrate 25 years
of... I thought you were going off again. To celebrate
25 years of Jurassic Park, there's a big Jeff Goldblum with Tower Bridge.
Can you say the words?
It's to celebrate 25 years of Jurassic Park, there's a big old Jeff Goldblum down by Powell Bridge. Oh, there was. It's gone now.
Who did it?
I think it's on.
So they were doing this little publicity stuff.
I love it. I think it's great. I wanted them to, like, Trump baby style, like, fly over the city.
What's quite good about it is, like, it is obviously recognizably Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
Goldblum doing that scene where he's got his shirt open.
Yeah.
But it's like a weird likeness of him.
Someone said it looks like Dev from Coronation Street.
Yeah, I remember that. Another one for our American listeners there.
Well, when I went down the other day,
it's for you, Zach,
I saw we had a press release about it, and I thought it's round the corner from our office. I thought, well, I'll do that at lunch. So I had a little stroll down, and there was no ropes or anything there. You could just go up and touch it.
Could you climb him?
What's
he made out of?
I don't know.
It looks statue. Like, it does. You like saying the Trump baby? It looks inflatable.
Yeah. Well, it's not solid, is it? That'd be mad. It's pretty solid. What?
Yeah.
It's like fiberglass.
I thought it was inflatable.
No.
Fiberglass. It's like a Fabergé egg. It's very
rare. Some kind of fiberglass.
Yeah, it'll be fiberglass.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane. I assumed it was inflatable.
But the other day you could just go down and touch it. It's gone now. But
too many people were touching it.
Well, that's the thing. I went down. I took a photo by it, and then just no one was doing anything. Like, I think some people from fucking Lad Bible down filming it, because I went over to them. I was like, "Oh, can you not film me, please? Stop all that." And I took a photo with it, and I just thought, I'm going to see, like, how heavy it is. So I gave it a little, like, push, and then the guy from Now TV was like, can you not push that, please? And I was like, all right, yeah, I won't. But then...
It's like half
so it was like a bodyguard for it.
But then someone broke it, because my friends Zara and Caitlin, they went down yesterday for the last day. I went down the day before. And it's been held up by a plant pot. So you can't see in the photos now, but he's leaning on a plant pot because some guys broke it.
This is why we can't have nice things.
So now it's got a
This is why we can't have a giant Jeff Goldblum.
So after that, he had a velvet rope around it, so you couldn't get to it. But there's an amazing thing. If you check out Aubrey Plaza's Instagram, she was in London, and she went down to see it. And you can see her, like, jumping the... Someone's taking photos of her, like, jumping the rope and getting over to hug it. And there's a Now TV... The same guy who told me not to push it is, like, going under the ropes to, like, get her away from it.
Well, mad job for a few days. Your job is to
bodyguard
a giant Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, but it went everywhere. Apparently, I had a tweet from someone who followed me saying that they're on holiday in Jamaica and they were watching Good Morning America, and my tweet was on Good Morning America.
Ooh.
Yeah. Didn't ask me about that. Because there's a couple of NBC DM me asking if they could use the picture on their news show, and I said, did the Bunce face.
I'm glad you clarified that for listeners.
In a Twitter DM.
Dear listener, he's also doing the Bunce fingers.
How much? Yeah. How much are we talking?
How much Bunce we talking? NBC, zero Bunce. Then this other agency called like Storify, they DM me, giving me the big one about all their different...
Outlets.
And they're like, oh yeah, we supply content to Sky, The Sun, The Daily Express, like going through all these different things. And they said, can we use your picture? Can we send your picture to them? And I said, yeah, sure. How much would that be? And they were like, oh, we don't have any budget. Dim the Bunce face again on Twitter DM. And she said, yeah, we don't have any money. I said, well, how come you haven't got any money? But you work for all these different really rich companies.
Yeah.
And I was like, do people just say yeah? And she was like, yeah, people just like having credit for different stuff. I was like, I'll be all right, I think. Like,
yeah.
It's not giving me numbers and it's not giving me cheddar cheese.
I've been on Twitter for borderline 7 years now, and never has a news agency approached me for my tweets.
Really?
I am hurt and I am offended.
You know,
so Sky, if you want any of my pictures,
he'll give it away.
I'll give them away.
He won't do Bun's face. He'll just go, yes, please.
I'll pay you.
Tamora at GameSpot did this amazing tweet about reading Trump's tweets with his cat. So it's like, and his came and his cat are just doing the same faces. It's incredible.
It is a great
tweet. But he sold it. He won't tell me how much he's done it for, but he sold that tweet to somebody else.
So what do you mean?
Well, some
how does that work?
Some advertising agency were like, can we buy that? Can we buy the images? And he was like, yeah, I just sold the tweet. Sold the rights to the tweet to someone.
And he won't tell you how much it was worth?
Well, he never told me, yeah.
That's either not that much or loads.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing that it's
he
got to
made
be
of
loads.
Gold now. Yeah. That's weird. Yeah.
Don't work at GameSpot anymore. He owns GameSpot.
He owns gold.
To more spot.
It's like in The Simpsons when Homer thinks about what he's going to do with all the money. Just gold with all the chains.
But yeah, 25-foot Jeff Goldblum. What a lovely couple of days.
I love that NBC tries to buy off you. NBC literally are owned by Universal, that own Jurassic Park. Yeah. Surely they own the Jeff Goldblum or could shut it down. Well, how do you do that legally as well?
Well, I also had another message. I had two other strange messages. One was off a guy in Minnesota who was listening to a local radio station. And so not only did someone...
They described your tweet.
They got the tweet, but then they also searched for like Gav Murphy, Jeff Goldblum or something, or looked on IGN. And they got some of the video that me and Krupa did of Jeff Goldblum reenacting Jurassic Park. And they played that over a radio station in Minnesota.
What?
I know.
The internet's weird, man.
Isn't it?
It's so weird.
But then I had another message off some dude going, I made the Jeff Goldblum. he made the original 3D Studio Max render of the Jeff Goldblum statue. And he made it for some Jurassic Park event, but he didn't know what it was going to be used for. These people have just stolen that off the internet and just made it. So this dude's sitting around, my tweet goes viral, and then he's like, that's my fucking Jeff Goldblum statue. But obviously he can't really have that much claim to it because
someone else's image anyway.
It's Jeff Goldblum
from Jurassic Park.
So he's just like, yeah, it's a bit weird.
He's been ripped off in a literally massive way.
Yeah. Strange, isn't it?
That's like the other day on Twitter I was posting because I really want they're releasing these new line of toys in Japan that are like these little Shiba Inu statues in all these different like ridiculous situations.
Yes, please.
And one of them is a Shiba Inu trying to catch a Frisbee, but it's just smashing him in the face. So he's all wrinkled and disgruntled.
Oh my God.
Which was like riffing off like a meme picture that went like viral, like trying hard but not succeeding. And then the dog one. And then after I posted that and it blew up a little bit, I got a message from the guy that was like, oh yeah, I'm the owner of the original dog, the original Shiba from the meme.
Way.
And he's like, let me know if you find any of these, like get hold of them because I really want one. It's like, isn't that insane?
The internet.
Yeah. What's Scumbag Steve up to these days?
The internet's mental.
I don't know what are all these people up to.
I would like to track some of them down. I don't know why I came onto it, but I looked up the guy from the D's Nuts Vine.
Oh, you were telling me, yeah.
And yeah, he's a rotter. He's not a very nice person.
Because you know there's lots of those features like photo comparisons of them then and them now, and that's like quite a standard internet gallery.
I just saw
the one on Time magazine the other day.
Oh, no, I think it was Dream Phone.
No, L magazine. They did this gallery that was the Black Panther cast in the movie and in real life. And it's literally pictures next to each other, people just looking exactly the same. just exactly the same.
What are they looking like now?
It came out a couple months ago.
There's a picture of Martin Freeman in Black Panther wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Martin Freeman not in Black Panther, not wearing a suit. Same face.
Someone did a really good one of those. I think it was on CNET. He did a, you know, the Feeder Just a Day video?
Yep.
Where it's like everyone record their own version of them playing the thing.
That was a great music video.
That was a really good music video. And he tracked every single one of them, well, lots of them down to see like what they were doing now. How mad is that?
That is insane.
Yeah, and it basically just asks like what they've been doing with
their
lives.
I wonder how many people's story were, to be honest, it's all been downhill since then.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. Yeah. Like, they were like, I'm in a Feeder music video.
Nah. Well, it's not like one of them
never really
like,
panned out for me.
Didn't do many videos after that.
Yeah, I'm Jake Gyllenhaal now.
I want to watch that music video again. I haven't seen it.
Really, I'm going to listen to Feeder this afternoon. I've seen Feeder live.
What's the name of that song?
Just a Day.
Just a Day.
Yeah.
So what else is that? Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers, that was the other one.
He Welsh?
Half Welsh. Some of them Welsh, some of them are not.
Japanese as well.
He might be Welsh, that one.
The bass player.
That one.
That
one of them's dead as well, isn't he?
Drummer? Stu something? Yeah. I think he hung himself. God, let's move on.
Bring back the Christmas songs, please.
Yeah. Don't do one about...
No one's dead.
It's a Christmas miracle.
I watched a documentary on Netflix the other day. It's been served to me a bunch of times now, but I just haven't bothered with it because the thumbnail I was getting is really shit. It's called The Defiant Ones, and it's a four-part documentary series about Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine, who is like a big-time producer. He's worked with like amazing people like Stevie Nicks and Bruce Springsteen and stuff like that over the years. And then he started a record label that he got Dr. Dre on, and they've had like a really long time collaboration, and then eventually made Beats, the fucking headphones together.
Right, not
and then,
just Beats, the music. Yeah.
Right. He made a lot of Beats.
That's the minimum I expect from
you. Dr. Dre, but him and the doc made Beats, and then they sold it for $3.2 billion to Apple.
I can't even think about
that's a cheddar cheese.
How would you come up with that number as well?
Yeah.
Like 3.2. You can't go like, okay, 3 billion? 3.2? Fuck it. We're already at 3. We might as well give them the
well,
point.
Well, I imagine it went something like Apple sent him a DM and said, we work with loads of retailers. What would you like to say so far? Dr. Dre did Bun's face.
The Bun's gift.
Yeah.
And he's like, cheddar cheese. It's probably something like that.
But yeah,
I don't know much about business.
And there was loads of stuff. I know a little bit about Dr. Dre's life, but there was loads in that I just didn't know. And it's such an amazing documentary, and it looks stunning as well. It looks really, really good.
It's a lot of good. I've heard so many people recommending loads of good documentaries to me on Netflix the other day. Still haven't watched Wiener yet. I need to watch that.
Wiener is brilliant.
Although he's gone even worse now. You know that?
Has it? Well,
since
to be fair, something really horrible has happened. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Like with like young people. Mine. Anyway,
doesn't
matter because Dr.
So
Dre
green?
Is nice. Well, although to be fair, they do cover a bit that Dr. Dre did something really shit in the documentary.
Oh, Christ. Spice it up.
People need to stop being wrong-uns.
When Ice Cube left NWA.
NWA. That's the nerdy rap group.
They did an interview. The rest of NWA did an interview with this sort of rap show, and the woman who was the presenter also in that show did an interview with Ice Cube. And then so they kind of like had this like war, even though he really wasn't that. They put together the people at the show, the producers, but the show put together this like war thing.
That like Simpson style news editing.
Yeah, they chop
it all out. Yeah.
And Dr. Dre didn't like it, so he assaulted the presenter.
That's not how you solve your problems,
it's
people.
It's really bad. But it's like, it's a really interesting way of covering it because obviously they're making this four-part documentary about how great Dr. Dre is and then this happens. And although I obviously still think he's a bit of a scumbag for doing it, I think the way that he sort of apologizes and stuff is pretty good. And they have her in it as well. But obviously you can never, it's a really hard thing to tackle when you're trying to make a documentary going, this guy's really great. Also, remember when he punched this woman?
That's pretty
it's like in the Jim Carrey bit. It's like, you remember when Jim Carrey said the N-word on late night TV?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not
for
good.
For a laugh.
That's not a good reason to use that word.
But it's a really interesting documentary, and you should all watch it, because I was getting a thumbnail with like Marilyn Manson, who's not in the documentary at all. Like,
at all?
What?
Well, he's in it in the sense that they talk about Marilyn Manson because he was on the same label, so he's not
interviewed
which is interesting.
So when you mentioned this documentary to me, I was I've not seen that on Netflix, but then when you said Marilyn Manson, I was like, I have seen that. Yeah. And I just assumed, because the description also said Dr. Dre, it was almost like each episode was on like a different defiant one.
That would be quite cool. But yeah, no, it doesn't. It covers them all and how basically all these people who were like defining their version of music. Like Trent Reznor's actually in it because he was Nine Inch Nails were on the same label as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Marilyn Manson doesn't get interviewed in it. It's really strange. But lots of people do.
Why would you choose that for a thumbnail? That's so mad.
Speaking of, have you watched other good documentaries on Netflix? Have you watched the series Design?
No.
It's brilliant. It's like 7 episodes. And each episode is a different designer in a different field. So they speak to the guy who does a lot of New Yorker covers.
Oh, cool.
And they speak to the guy who basically created most of Nike's famous shoes.
Wow.
So they talk to him about designing like Air Jordans over the years and like that process and how Michael Jordan used to be involved. All this crazy stuff.
That's crazy.
That's really
crazy. I have
really
so much respect for designers. I don't have that eye, you know? I've tried to design stuff before and it just comes out crap. But then someone else will do it, and I'm like, this is amazing.
I didn't think about Homer's computer then.
Hello, like, why isn't it working?
And the robot's like, see all that stuff? That's why your Nike shoes don't work.
Or like Homer's car. Yeah.
It's got bubble fronts.
It's so over-designed.
But yeah, Defiant Ones. I'm thinking about watching it again, because it's really good.
Oh, you've sold me.
Yeah. It is... Because everything, it tells you the story, and then like Dr. Dre releases like 2 absolute stinkers of albums, and they just absolutely tank. And it's really funny seeing them, because everything is like, we're doing great. Dr. Dre released 2 albums, they do shit. And the way they cover it, they just go, yeah, they were rubbish.
Oh my God.
And he's like, yeah, I never wanted to make another album again. And then he meets Eminem then, or he finds the Eminem tape, and they talk about that bit then, which is really good. Oh, it's so good.
It does sound good.
It's really good.
First Wiener, then I'll maybe check this one. Yeah.
Wiener for starters.
Wiener for starters.
Bit the dock afterwards.
Yeah. Speaking about going back slightly to over-designing, you just reminded me of a story of when I was growing up. It's a banger as well. We were doing like an art class.
I'll tell you if it's a banger, mate.
We were doing an art class one time, and everyone was like, had to like draw the countryside or something.
Yeah.
And I drew this amazing picture of the countryside.
I don't know what
to say. And then, this is good. This is like my roots of over-designing.
Yeah.
Drew this amazing picture, you know, beautiful countryside, waves kind of crashing in and stuff. Showed it to the teacher, and she was like, that's amazing. Like, it looks so good. Look at all the colors and stuff. It's like, you've done something really good here, Rory. So I'm like, well chuffed. Just sit back down. And she's like, oh, but there's like 20 minutes left in the class. So I was like, oh, well, I'll add some more stuff to the drawing then. I'll put like a pirate ship in the ocean. I'll have some guys here. Added so much stuff. And then I was like, well, look at it. I finished it now.
She's like, I hate it.
She's
now.
Like, you ruined it. You've ruined it.
Fair play on her giving that feedback.
Well, she said, you've ruined it.
I think that's like really good teaching because...
told me I had 20 minutes.
Imagine so many teachers just go... Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, well, stick it on
especially
the fridge.
especially with art. Yeah, it's great. That's you really expressed yourself.
It's good, but now I never draw because I'm afraid I'll ruin it.
Yeah,
quote unquote.
I think
you just need someone to tell you to stop.
Yeah,
that's it.
But the annoying thing is though, he adds
curveball. Go beyond that and add even more shit in, like a whole nother level.
Firstly, don't refer to your art as shit.
Yeah,
that's the first rule of any great art.
Okay, wish my teacher was like this.
What's Bomb Chicken?
It's a little game. It's a game that isn't out now on Nintendo Switch.
Sweet.
It is £11. It's really cool, actually.
£11?
£11.
Are you like angry about that? Are you happy about it?
I can't really tell.
Yeah.
So what
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
It feels like a lot from what I've seen, but...
£11 for an indie game. That's good.
So what it is, well, let me tell you the origin story of Bomb Chicken.
Okay.
It was a little egg that was discarded from a factory.
This is how a game was made. This is like behind the scenes.
Yeah. This is was it a biopic? I'm showing Gavin Roy the actual game running on the Switch. He was a discarded egg from like a egg factory.
Yeah.
They just chucked him out. Why? And then he got like some little magic goo dropped on him. We can fart bombs. And I love
why is a farmer throwing out an egg? That's their
maybe
money.
Maybe they're in meat farming.
Then why has he got an egg? Oh, the chickens probably.
Yeah. But I like the animation on him because he's a big fat chicken and he like poops bombs.
Oh, that is good.
Great. I like that he's like freaking out.
So essentially, what it is, it's like a side-scrolling like puzzle game.
Oh, okay.
So you've got like poop bombs, but the bombs will destroy Bomb Chicken, even though they're in him. I don't understand the biology of that.
Well, presumably they're not exploding in him.
But you feel like you might have some
resistance as it comes out. He, like his little the top of his arse like sparks it, and then it's like right now.
Yeah,
ready
it's
to
like
go.
It's like a matchbox strip.
That must be the mechanism. So if you are too close to the bombs, you do get turned into a roast chicken. So you die.
Oh, that's great.
But you've got to use it to like you can put them out into stacks so you can use them to get up higher, but you have to be very careful and you can kick them around. So basically it's a really cool, it kind of reminds me of like an old kind of Amiga or SNES puzzle game.
It looks weirdly like they've taken a Bomberman game top down and just brought the camera down to like a side scroll.
Yeah, it's a little bit because you've got like the bomb kick as well. So you use that to like solve puzzles as well. So it's a lot of it is about timing, but I think it looks really nice.
How much have you played so far?
About a couple hours.
Is it good? Really good?
I think it's good. I've looked online. I think it's quite short as well.
You can play in multiplayer, right?
I don't know.
I saw a tweet from them going, when Bay gets blown up or something like that.
Really forcing that one,
Relatable.
You know, for ages, I didn't know what Bay stood for. I didn't know it was an acronym.
I don't.
I thought it was just like Bay, like baby.
Yeah. What does it stand for? I generally don't know.
This is going to blow my mind.
It's BAE, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm really doubting myself now because I thought I thought I was super lame, like not knowing.
You're like, you guys didn't know what it stands for? Bastard, asshole. I don't think it does.
What do you think it stands
for? Oh god, I've kind of forgotten. But it's something like it's like because I can't think of what makes sense with the last one. But it's like before all. It's not all others, but before something like
all
that.
Else.
What?
Before all else.
I mean, that's
like
so
I put you before everyone else.
Let's have a look.
I'm doubting myself now.
That's disappointing if that's what it is. I thought it would be like
baby.
Beautiful ass. Beautiful.
Before any. Yeah.
Bab.
Beautiful ass.
Beautiful.
Beautiful ass bae. That's what it stands for.
Beautiful arse, Elsie. It's before anyone else.
Oh, right. Where's it come from?
Some people do think it's a shortened version of baby or babe.
That's what
it's before everyone, before anyone else.
I kind of hate it more now. I thought it was just a shortened. Yeah,
I don't mind it. I'm okay. If people are happy, people are happy.
Speaking of,
it's Danish for shit.
For shit.
It's Danish for poop. So when people are saying bay in Denmark,
Denmark must be so confused.
But also, I like the fact because it's obviously not shit. It's like. They said the equivalent is poop. So it's like the funny word for
the poop. Love you, turd.
I love that you changed it to turd. Poop's the English
word. Love you, poop. That's even better, isn't it? Love you, poo.
Bomb chicken.
Bomb chicken. Out now.
Out now.
I actually had a double-double for the first
time. I was going to mention that to you today because I saw that it come back. I actually thought about that, playing bomb chicken when it got turned into chicken. I was like, oh, powers can now have the double down.
It was bad, though, because I had the
did you get that on Sunday?
The double down
on
Sunday after the 10K that we ran, which I had earned it. But by the time I got back to my station in the KFC, I was so drunk that I don't even really remember eating it.
Yeah.
So it's like I
bet they're quite
it,
hard to eat drunk as well because it's quite hot.
It's quite messy.
I burnt my mouth so bad.
I remember quite liking it.
Yeah, well, it's just like it's two pieces of delicious chicken with a cheese. The only grim thing is like I don't know what yours was like, but my cheese didn't really melt like it should have. So it's kind of just like this gray yellow
stick. I feel like that's
it wasn't too great.
Yeah, no,
but just close your eyes and eat it.
Close your eyes and think of chicken. I went away last weekend, so I was playing a lot of Switch. I played Semblance, which I haven't played enough of to talk about, I don't think, really. But I've still been playing Mario Tennis, but I'm at a point now where it can get fucked. Like, it's so hard now. And I've spoken to everybody else, and everyone has basically stopped at the same point, almost. Because the difficulty spike in it is just, it's brutal.
That's weird, isn't
it's
it?
Really
I think it's hard when you have to do those rallies.
The rally thing, that's the thing. There's one rally where it's basically you've got to do a rally of 300 and you're only allowed to miss three times. What I keep doing is like losing two lives really quickly, and I swear it does this on purpose, because then I'll get to like, I've got to do 300, and then I'll get to like 294, and then all of a sudden my opponent is just fucking brilliant at tennis, even though for like 200 shots it's just been like, yeah, whatever, just hitting it back, and then all of a sudden it's fucking Agassi like serving
how long does that take
bullshit.
300 rallies, that sounds
not as long as it sounds.
Long enough to, like, if you lose two, just restart it.
But the
worst, restarting is a pain in the ass.
But
as well.
Is the worst, one of the most aggravating things about it.
Yeah.
Is you can't quickly restart the challenge.
Yeah.
So if you fuck it midway through, you can't go into a menu and go easily.
Yeah.
And then once you do lose the challenge, you've got to, like, go all the way back in through quite a long loading screen.
Yeah.
For a challenge that you can easily fail.
Yeah.
That sounds like a ball.
If you didn't have that, it would still be hard.
Yeah.
But you would find it less onerous.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, even outside of the adventure version as well, the adventure, they call this little adventure thing, which at first I was like, oh, this is a cool idea. But even outside of that, in the tournaments bit, I was talking to Dale about this, and, like, you're in a tournament, you have to play three matches and then you win the tournament, essentially, because everyone else goes on without you. The first and second matches of all the tournaments, it's like playing against someone, a blind person who just is not playing tennis at all, because you're just like, you can just hit, basically, if you stand right up against the net, when they serve over to you, you can hit it the opposite side that they are and they'll never get to it. And that happens for every match in the first two matches. And then you're playing someone who's fucking incredible again. It's just like, you're not learning anything because you play someone who's amazing and you've managed to beat them just about. Then you come back to playing scrubs and then someone amazing in two matches time. It's all over the place.
Yeah, so I've stopped playing it. But you know what we should do now that we've all played the single player?
Burn it.
We should play multiplayer because that's the best thing about it.
Yeah, to be fair.
And we played that before we learned how to play the game.
Yeah.
Like all the little weird bits.
But this is another thing with the multiplayer, though, that because I had a 3-hour layover in between flights on the weekend. So I said to Clara, I said to my girlfriend, like, do you want to play it? She was like, yeah, it's good. And she plays video games. But because you have to learn so much of the special shots and things like that.
Yeah.
I've obviously been playing it for like 6, 7, 8 hours. Clara's never played it before. So there's no way that she can be as good as me because she's got to learn all these different things.
You could just turn all that off, just basic tennis.
But it's kind of boring. So we did that a couple of times. I was like, this is a bit boring. She was like, turn the other stuff on. But then I basically had to do
it's really hard to explain.
Yeah, basically had to give her the game to play single player for an hour to get everything down. So I was just sitting in the airport watching her play while she was getting good enough that she knew all the buttons. Then go, right, now we can have a match.
I guess it's probably a weird thing for them because you obviously want to make something that's as popular as the Wii sports tennis.
Yeah.
But it obviously has to be complex enough to have a whole storyline.
Yeah.
And what do you...
And to justify someone spending £40 on it.
Yeah.
I think what's tricky about that is, like, imagine, I don't know. You know that there's lots of nuance and depth to Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you've learned that over so many different games.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they can assume a certain level of knowledge, whereas this... No one's, they're trying to introduce new stuff, give it that depth. You know, like in Mario Kart, you know all the weapon counters intuitively.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to tutorialize that stuff anymore.
It's when you realize, like, I remember the first time I tried to play Mario Kart with my dad.
Yeah.
And it was like, you just forget that he didn't know how to hold the controller.
Yeah.
And what buttons were which.
Because I don't think Mario Kart now even teaches you really, like, you can hold this, drag it behind you if you want.
Yeah.
It's
and
that'll just
be,
like,
a counter to a red shell if you've got a green one hanging.
Yeah.
It's just knowledge that you kind of pick up along the way.
Do you know the weirdest thing out of all of Mario Tennis thing, right, is in the adventure mode, you're collecting Power Stones, which are all the same color as the Infinity Stones. That is weird anyway. But when you beat the boss and you get one of the Power Stones, right? So you beat a boss and there's like a treasure chest that opens up. When that treasure chest opens up, you see a light come out of it, but you never see the Power Stone come out of it. So the first time I did, I thought I was getting a racket or something, or I was getting a power up, and then I would go on and get a power stone from somewhere else. But no, it just, like, this treasure chest opens up, this light comes out of it, and then Toad and then it goes to the next screen, and Toad's like, "Sweet, we got a power stone."
Have we?
And you never see it. It's so bizarre.
That is weird.
That's gonna be a big twist.
I don't know.
But that's one of
maybe
the things.
Maybe it is. They're all bollocks.
Well,
that's one of the things. No.
It was all inside you.
All you need was what's in here to be a
tennis
champ.
It's like,
why have
you been up that fucking mountain then?
Well, I've been playing tennis for weeks.
Yeah.
I wish they put, you know, Nadal did, like, the adverts for it.
Was it put him in it?
Just put him in it.
Yeah. It was really funny because we had I think we had like a press release on. It was like, Nadal, Mario
Tennis. I thought that was what the announcement was going to be.
And it was like in big bold, Nadal is not in Mario Tennis. This is all bollocks.
They put a Mercedes Benz in it.
Yeah.
In Mario Kart. Yeah. To be fair, that is weird.
It's weird that Mario's...
Yeah.
Was it that? That's like the first time Nintendo ever done DLC. Yeah. Like, and the first thing it was like
Mercedes-Benz.
Sold out to the max.
Yeah. Do you think they were like, you know what that was? That was Bunt's face. That's Nintendo with Bunt's face.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, can we put the car in Mario Kart? Yeah. How much? How much?
How about Mercedes? We've never done DLC before, so it's going to cost you.
Pay up.
It's going to cost you.
Do you know what else is going to cost you? Little game I like to call Keyword Countdown.
Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown.
If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorized their films via a bunch of crazy keywords. Or Alexander Blanchard has done is taken five.
That's a great name.
I know, isn't it? Five films, 10 keywords apiece, and a link between them all. The link is an absolute banger. Well done, Alexander. Alexander writes, "All right, there, Gav, and the rest of the team. Big fan of the podcast. Could we get an update on Cardi's Football Manager? Need to know if his ratios have improved. I think he's on 52% now.
Is he still playing?
I think I don't know. On and off. Okay, but yeah, give the people what they want, Cardi. Here we go then. Film number one. Can you guess them? Really good link." The film's the fucking link is right at the top.
Oh, you're about to read it?
I almost read it out. I'm gonna scribble it out, otherwise I'll fucking read it out. Jesus Christ. Hang on.
Make sure you remember it.
Huh?
Damn it.
Here we go. Barefoot.
Castaway.
Good guess.
Die Hard.
Survival.
Ooh, all good guesses. Die Hard. Oh, he already said that.
Castaway with a Vengeance.
Child in Peril.
Jaws.
Minimal cast.
Jurassic Park.
Father-son relationship.
Ooh. Hunt for the Wilder People.
Alien.
Alien.
Alien?
Alien?
Predator.
Independence Day.
Self-sacrifice.
Not Independence Day?
A Quiet Place.
Evolution.
Yeah. Well done. Sorry, I got really excited that you got that.
Are they confirmed aliens?
I think in the all the newspaper stuff, don't they say, like, they've come...
Right.
They're coming to Earth! The other ones, pregnancy,
newspapers,
bathtub, and silence are the other ones. So 4 points, Krupa.
I still haven't seen that yet.
I just, instead of writing Krupa 4, I've written 4 points. God.
We were drinking last night. I want that to be on the record.
It's your birthday.
It was my birthday yesterday.
Someone's here.
And we didn't have any dinner. The plan was go to Loading Bar, take some photos, then go have dinner. And then
don't drink.
We have one Corona, and then that just led to fucking... Pints.
And then, we end up at a gig.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you had a pint, you go, oh, that is refreshing though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was trying to stick to the juices.
Went to a gig. Oh, I went to like my mate's bar afterwards. I was like, I had a couple of beers there.
I ordered a disgusting amount of McDonald's.
I saw what he ordered. He spent like £15 on McDonald's.
That's so much.
That gets you a lot in McDonald's.
Yeah.
And not even, it wasn't even a meal. It was just single burgers.
I bought nine chicken.
I had a bag of 12 burgers.
I did similarly, getting the cheap burgers.
Just the
and
cheap
I got nine chicken nuggets. I was fuming. I got on the overground on the way home. I was like, I've had my burgers. I'm going to have my chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Open the bag. No dipping sauces. I had to have nine dry chicken nuggets.
And I was telling Dan, I got the mega dip. They served me the mega dip.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's like the size of a balled up
fist.
Big,
yeah.
It was giant.
Okay, well done. Quiet Place. 4 points.
Sorry.
Female protagonist.
Alien.
Reading.
The Reader.
Good versus Evil. Close Up of Eyes.
Blade Runner.
Teacher.
It's not female protagonist. Shit.
Cruelty.
Cruel Intentions.
Newt.
Aliens.
Oh. Telekinesis.
Newt. Minority Report.
Pancake.
Ooh.
Final clue. Child prodigy. Female protagonist. Reading. Good versus Evil. Close Up of Eyes. Teacher, cruelty, newt, telekinesis, pancake, child prodigy, Matilda.
Oh, right. You said it.
Yeah.
I was like, Matilda?
None there. Never mind. But remember, it doesn't matter if you don't get it because it's more fun for the people at home. And do let us know if you got any of those. It's always nice to hear that. I'm film number three. Cult classic.
Blade Runner.
Conspiracy.
You taking my Blade Runner?
The Conversation.
Comedic sex scene.
Ooh.
Naked Gun.
Rival. Shot in the back. One of our favorites. Bare-chested male.
Hey.
Reporter. Villain arrested.
Ninja Turtles.
Fashion.
There's a comedic sex scene in the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Turtles going at it.
You ever seen the turtle fuck a rat?
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
Making those little turtle noises going,
get the rat out.
Go Ninja, go Ninja. Final clue, male model.
Zoolander.
Yeah.
Oh. God, how did I not get that earlier?
Well, I've never seen Zoolander.
It's wicked.
It is actually
really,
really
good.
Don't watch the second one.
I've never seen the second one.
Don't.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think I have.
David
seen
Bowie
no,
in the
Anchorman
first one.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done to Alexander as well, because what he's done is he's numbered these 10 to 1, so I know the points straight
ooh.
Away. Don't have to work it out.
Oh,
that is great.
Pef.
Film number four. Monster.
Jaws. Godzilla.
Dark Fantasy.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Three-word title.
Jinx, Daniel can't talk.
The Devil's Backbone.
I get to punch you now.
Magic.
Labyrinth. Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Well done.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of gave it away there, Gavin.
7 points to group it. Hidden Entrance.
He's like, Labyrinth. Close, it's Dark Crystal.
The other one. Hidden Entrance. Act the voice in multiple roles. Puppetry. Furry creature. Planetary alignment. Crystal Shard. That's 11 points currently for Krupa. Powers, if you get this on the first go or the second and get the link, you get it.
All right, all right.
Oh, this last one?
Yeah. Film number five.
Give me some time. I need some time on this.
Okay. Well, before I start.
No, I just... before I hear the first one and then I...
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
going
to be ages.
Marijuana cigarette.
Oh, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Ooh, a doobie.
Cult film.
I said it while, Gavin.
What?
I could have got that.
Okay. Well, now you've
so the second one's cult film. Cult
yeah, marijuana cigarette, cult film.
Pineapple Express.
No.
Super Bad.
No.
Think Weed. Think Weed, Rory.
Don't think that. Oh. That's a very small part of this film.
Damn it. Keep going.
No, go on.
What was the second clue?
Cult film.
What's
cult
it called?
Film.
Got nothing.
Nothing.
You're trying to tell me with your eyes.
I am.
Can see it, but...
What? What are you doing?
You look surprised.
Cult film. Bedroom.
Exorcist.
Bouquet of Roses.
Something About Mary.
Terminator 3.
That's good. Well, Terminator 2, he's got the shotgun and roses, yeah. Ambiguous Person. Throw in a bottle.
Ambiguous person. What does that even mean?
It's good.
I know it's going to make a lot of sense.
It is, yeah, yeah. Throw in a bottle. Suicide.
Jesus.
Ooh.
Surprise party. Cheating.
I think I've lost this.
Fighting on a rooftop. Marijuana cigarette, cult film, bedroom,
The Matrix,
Bouquet of Roses, no. Ambiguous Person, Throw in a Bottle, Suicide, Surprise Party, Cheating, Fighting on a Rooftop.
The Room.
Yeah.
Oh.
Fucking hell.
Here we are. Krupa got that. So Krupa
oh,
got three guesses and 12 points to Krupa. Yeah. Do you guys know what the link is? A Quiet Place, Matilda, Zoolander, The Dark Crystal, The Room.
Oh my God, such a weird selection of films, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two of them, like, are the most obvious ones that you should get.
I'm not going to get it. No clue.
Oh. Something to do with Ricky Gervais?
No.
Oh. school, he's called Derek Zoolander. I was like, oh, Derek, that's...
That would be a stretch.
We've had worse.
We have,
Writer-directors.
Do you know it?
Writer-directors movies?
Actor-directors.
First debuts.
No, just actor-director. So John Krasinski's in A Quiet Place. Danny DeVito, Matilda. Ben Stiller, Zoolander. Didn't know he directed that.
I was just thinking like, Matilda directed.
Yeah. Jim Henson, Dark Crystal. And Tommy Wiseau, The Room. Good link. Very good link. Alexander Blanchard. Loads of people have sent them in to me, so keep DMing me. I'm at CameraGav on Twitter. Put them in a nice little Google Doc that doesn't have any permissions on it or any, you know what I mean. And
open sharing.
Yeah, open sharing. There we go. Thank you very much, Alexander Blanchard. That was a banger. Right, let's have some feedback, and then we're going to go get Subway. Who's first?
Oh, it's me. I have an email here from Wesley Dunkerton.
That's a good name.
Sounds like a basketball player.
Yeah.
Dunkerton! He says, greetings from Philadelphia. I heard you guys discussing trailers that did not represent the final cut of the movie and wanted to throw in School Ties, 1992. That's the year, not the name of the film. The trailer opens in classic 90s narration scene setting before halfway through, it takes a left turn into making you think Brendan Fraser is the only Jewish kid in a boarding school for violent Nazi sympathizers. The final cut of the movie is a lot slower and open from the beginning. Not nearly as dramatic as the trailer. Love the podcast. Love playing Keyword Countdown on the commute. Thank you. I actually watched the trailer because he also linked it in the email because I haven't seen that movie before. Yeah. Have you guys seen it?
I don't think so.
Never it literally looks like Brendan Fraser like, in the trailer.
Yeah.
He was obviously brought into this boarding school because he's a really good football player.
Right.
And it's all like maybe in Germany or there's like a lot of like Nazi sympathizers at the school.
Oh, shit.
And the whole idea in the trailer is like, he's the best and he's getting along with everyone. It's like, he's the QB. And then in 1 minute, like...
The music goes, dang.
At a party, like, someone from another school is like, oh, no other school would have him because he's a Jew. And then they're all like, what? And it becomes this, like, crazy... Like, the film literally ends it's with Brendan Fraser in the rain, standing outside a window going, coward! Like, it looks like the most epic thing in the world. But I'm getting the idea the trailer isn't actually as, the movie isn't as actually as
don't
dramatic as
don't see Brendan Fraser much anymore.
You don't.
I miss him. Yeah. I miss Brendan Fraser.
Here we go. Number
is he
two.
Bad or is he just not acting anymore?
I think he's just bored. This is from Ryan Benich, who says, hey guys, a QE listener here. Been listening to your podcast for a while now and thought I'd finally get in touch to say thank you. I've just started a new job in criminal law and the day-to-day dealings are fairly grisly. It's brilliant listening to you a lot, wax poetic and have a bit of fun. So keep up the saintly work.
Isn't it weird? Like, I want to know more about that.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
send us in some stuff.
One day, if we all play our cards right, we might need him.
For what?
Criminal law.
Oh,
we
right.
We might have to go to jail.
What other thing
to
say?
What?
Yeah.
No, let's step up now so we can commit the perfect murder.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched that film? I can't always call it. Is there Sandra Bullock in it? Where they try to commit the perfect murder. It might be called Perfect Murder.
If we do something big and bad enough, think about it. We could have our own Netflix documentary.
Made about us.
Called Making a Let's Play.
I want you to be... I want in the film version you to be described as ambiguous person.
Yeah. That'd be great. Who would... well, obviously, Jeremy Renner would play you in the reenactment.
Yeah.
Me, I don't know who would be me. Ryan Gosling, I guess, because it's the likeness.
Scheduling permitting.
I don't know what I have. Danny DeVito.
you're actually gonna end up with Owen Wilson instead.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson would be pretty funny. Yeah. I would completely want
Danny DeVito. That's a film we need to see.
People go, finally, we're getting that triplets movie.
Yeah. We're gonna kill him tonight, Grouper. Now everyone just needs to calm Wales. Down.
That's good.
Doing a bit of Owen Wilson.
That's good.
Durenna.
He's just a man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just rubbish.
Oh, anyway, that was an arrow.
He's got some questions. He says, do you have traditional rewatches or replays? A buddy of mine make a point to watch the extended Lord of the Rings trilogy each year because New Zealand. And I'm ashamed to admit, I crank Final Fantasy VIII every few years just because it was a game that I first really got into as a kid. Story is rubbish, though.
You've got one obvious one.
Mad Men constantly.
But that's not like... I think he's more like tradition. That's, it's more like... That's just something you watch a lot.
That's just something you watch, isn't it?
Because I have, like, so me and my brother, because we used to not see each other a lot.
Yeah.
Our, like, tradition was that we would, whenever we did, like, see each other and come back home,
yeah,
we would buy and drink a whole bottle of rum,
yeah,
and watch the High School Musical movies.
I thought it was just going to be the rum.
That's like our tradition, like every time, like watching like, old Disney movies.
I knew about
it.
You told me about that
before. It's so much fun. Yeah. We get really into it as well. At Christmas this year, I bought us both basketball jerseys from the high school.
Yes.
So it's like now we wear those and get like blackout drunk, watch High School Musical. It's a good tradition.
I don't know if I have like a big rewatch. I watch Halloween every Halloween.
Yeah, little things like that.
And the
Christmas
Shining.
Movies as well. Like,
but not like a rewatch of a series or anything.
With the guys I do NFL draft with, like we go away together to watch Super Bowl and we watch like it's Total Recall, Running Man, Rambo 2.
Oh, so they're going to do it all Arnie's.
No, no. And Moneyball now. It's become a thing. They just watch and just...
Moneyball?
Yeah.
That's a weird one to throw into the mix, isn't it?
It's fucking brilliant.
It is good.
Yeah. Guess them in the right mood for the draft.
But that's the thing. We get really... Because we get
they
really
try to like doing Moneyball. I will Moneyball you so hard.
Because we've got a Rambo 2 drinking game. The get us absolutely fucked and then watch Moneyball and our friend Ollie always cries during Moneyball. During
I love the idea
scene.
Of like steaming like watching a Sorkin movie.
Yeah.
What's he saying? What's he saying?
It's like
it's quick, isn't it?
There's this one scene in Moneyball that's like his son getting real low thing. Like, like we had his stag do it recently and he gets really fucked. And when he's like he's just like a whirlwind, we have to put that scene on and you can just see him like really drunk, and then he just calms down. And he's just watching.
I love that. The equivalent of hey big guy.
Yeah.
Sun's real low in the sky.
Hey big guy.
Also he asked, have you lot watched Wellington Paranormal yet? Local police bloody love it. If you need to borrow my TV in New Zealand on demand account,
it's only out I think in New Zealand.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know it was out there.
Because we've got a couple emails of people being like, it's incredible, but I don't know if there's any way we can watch it at the minute.
Well, he said if you need to borrow my TV New Zealand on demand account, let me know. So I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah. We could do a screen in here in the office.
Yeah.
I would absolutely watch
that together. Yeah, we used to do watch with Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Right, final piece of feedback is from Colin Sundon. You guys ended the show the other week by talking about movies you guys love that had awful soundtracks. So I was wondering if you can think of some games that gave you the same feeling. Ooh. I personally love Payday 2. It's a really fun game in terms of gameplay for me and my friends since it came out. However, I'm unsure if I'm in the minority on this, but I found the soundtrack absolutely wretched. Just loud, off-putting, and to some extent frustrating techno that blows over every single scene.
The game Hue. It's a fucking brilliant game. Absolute dog shit soundtrack.
Really?
Oh, well, you're awful. Awful.
I can't. The thing is, if I don't know anything that bad that's stuck with me. You're also particularly sensitive to sound effects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I can't play ukulele. Not playing that.
Why?
Like that. Just constant. Oh, it's a pain in the ass.
That does sound bad.
Oh, I don't know. Nothing really comes to mind. I just don't.
I remember good soundtracks in games more than I remember like bad ones.
You focus on the good in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Red Dead 2 going down to Mexico.
Oh, yeah. GTA 5 party all the time.
The weed mission in Far Cry.
That was incredible. And that I was actually looking at it today. There was a mission in. Do you ever play any of the games in the Destroy All Humans?
Oh, yeah,
series?
Yeah.
There was one in the sequel to that where you're like on the moon and you have to like. Basically, everything goes to shit, and like these aliens come in and start ripping everyone apart. And your mission is just like get out alive.
Yeah.
And it starts playing this like really like upbeat hippie music, like really peaceful music, while people are just screaming and everything's exploding.
Awesome.
I remember being a kid and being like, "This is incredible." I was like, "This is the best thing ever."
Airport scene in Max Payne 3.
Yeah, that's really
that cool. Music.
Yeah. Incredible. Is it
health? Yeah. They're like a really awesome
French
electronic. Movie. I think so. Yeah. But yeah, if you it had the dynamic scores and it was
like
if you were good, the music's incredible.
Yeah, it builds.
If you were shit, you're just like.
To be fair, I love Devil May Cry 4, but one weird thing is that the battle music that they chose for like every time you're in combat. Is like a song that has lyrics.
Oh no.
So it's like every time you start a fight, it's like, the time has come, and so have I. And it's like, I could have maybe just done with like some
just
battle
some
music.
Yeah.
Because
especially if you have to do it again. Like,
yeah,
if you fail,
you hear
like,
it a lot.
That's way
like
more
in that thing, yeah.
Good. Good feedback. If you want to get in touch with us on any of those topics and more, we're IGN_UK feedback @IGN.com. until next week, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was good.
I'm quite tired.
Yeah, me too.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.